you can see from scriptures that it was God's plan for everything connected with Israel to bear the stamp of abundance and success. Disease and sickness were not to be tolerated among the Israelites, so the church should not tolerate sickness and disease either. Everything connected with the body of Christ, the New Testament church, should bear the stamp of abundance, success, healing, surplus, and health.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hey there, everybody. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I thank you for listening to Your Place of Grace. Today, we're talking about God's provision of healing. You know, God has always been opposed to sickness and disease. Did you know that? He's not in favor of it. No. I mean, even in the Old Testament, the Lord always made provision for His covenant people, Israel, to be healed. If sickness was His will, He wouldn't have made this provision for healing, right? Look, when Israel crossed the Red Sea and started toward their homeland, the Lord said, this is Exodus 15:26, "If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do all that is right in His sight and will give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put..." Now, those words, "I will put," the literal Hebrew says, "I will permit none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon or permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." You notice He isn't the Lord who made them sick. He said, "I am the Lord who heals you." God didn't put diseases upon Israel, nor upon the Egyptians. It is the evil one, Satan, the god of this world, who makes man sick. God our Father declares that He is Israel's healer. Exodus 23, verses 25 and 26 says, "And you shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in your land. The number of your days I will fulfill." Whoa, praise God. See, as long as Israel walked in the covenant, there was no sickness among them. There's no record of a premature death, no babies, no young people, no middle-aged people dying. No. With sickness taken away from the midst of them, the children of Israel lived out their lives without disease. They just fell asleep. When the time came for them to go, they would lay hands on their children and pronounce blessings upon them. Then they would gather their feet up into the bed, give up their spirit, and just go home. So what does that have to do with us, somebody asks? Well, that was back then. Well, God is the same God now as He was then. The Bible says God doesn't change. God was against sin in the Old Testament, and He is against sin in the New Testament. He was against sickness in the Old Testament, and He is against sickness in the New Testament. He made provision for healing in the Old Testament, and He made provision for healing also in the New. Deuteronomy 7:13 says, "And He," meaning God, "will love you." Love you. Hear that? Love you. But some people must not be reading the same Bible. They read, "And he will put sickness upon you and cause some of you to be stillborn and some of you to die when you're babies and some of you to be sick and crippled all your life." No, 1,000 times no. That's not the Holy Bible. Here is the Word of God. Deuteronomy 7, verses 13 through 15. "And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your land, your corn, your wine, your oil, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep, in the land which he swore unto your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female that's barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will permit none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which you know of, upon you." Whoa, praise God. Now, somebody might be saying right now, "Whoa, wait a minute, wait, preacher. That promise is not for us today." Now, are you sure? Really, are you sure? 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament, right? Well, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11 says this, "Now all these things happened unto them," meaning Israel, "as examples or types, and they are written for our admonition." Woo! How about that? Praise God. Deuteronomy 7, 13 through 15 was written for your benefit and mine. Now, I think the Holy Spirit knew there would be those who would jump up and say that, "No, wait, that's just for the children of Israel. That's just for the Jews. It's not for us." So he wrote what happened to them as examples to us. Those things written before time, talking about the old covenant, were written for our learning. Deuteronomy 7, 13 through 15 was written for our admonition, dear ones. Do you think those people back then would be more blessed than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you think they could be blessed financially and could prosper and be well, but the church today couldn't? Do you think that the church, the body of Christ, the body of the Son of God, the body of the Beloved, would have to struggle through life, poverty-stricken and sick and afflicted, emaciated, wasted away with starvation and singing, "Here I wander like a beggar through the heat and the cold"? No. No, that's not us. We have a better covenant than they had. And loved ones, in the new covenant, we are not beggars. The Bible says that we are joint heirs with Christ. We're sons of God. We're not beggars. We're new creations, new creatures, blessed above all people. You can see from scriptures that it was God's plan for everything connected with Israel to bear the stamp of abundance and success. Disease and sickness were not to be tolerated among the Israelites, so the church should not tolerate sickness and disease either. Everything connected with the body of Christ, the New Testament church, should bear the stamp of abundance, success, healing, surplus, and health. What God said concerning Israel, he said in so many words concerning the church of today. Romans 1:16 tells us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Now, many of us have a Scofield Bible and with Scofield's notes. But, you know, as a Greek and Hebrew scholar, his footnote on this verse is really incredible. I don't agree with a lot of stuff that Scofield wrote, but this statement I found just amazing. And I quote, he says, The Greek and Hebrew words translated salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and health. Praise God. Boy, that makes me happy. I'm preaching me happy. I don't know about you. I hope you're getting something out of this, dear one. Praise God. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto deliverance. The gospel is the power of God unto safety. It is the power of God unto preservation. And it is the power of God unto healing and wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. The Psalms were Israel's prayer and songbook, and they continually mention that God was Israel's healer, constantly. Psalm 103 is a wonderful and classic example. Psalm 103, verses 3 through 5 tells us, "Who," meaning the Lord, "forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." Oh, I love this. "Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." You know, disease came to Israel through disobedience of the law. So, forgiveness for their disobedience meant healing of their diseases. After God told Israel the reason for their sickness and disease was that they had rebelled against his words and against the counsel of the Most High, he then said in Psalm 107, verses 17 through 20, "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." You see, dear ones, the children of Israel took themselves out from under the protection of their covenant by wrongdoing and rebellion and sin. Well, we have a new covenant, a new and better covenant. The Bible says that it's better than the old covenant, and we too have divine protection. But it is possible to take ourselves out from under the protection of this covenant. Oh, yes, it is. But dear ones, when you do sin, when you do rebel, don't run from God, but run to him and repent. That means turn from your sins, turn from your wickedness, and turn toward the Lord and say, "Oh God, please forgive me. Jesus, wash me in your precious blood. Forgive me, please, once again, forgive me of my sin. I was so stupid." And the Bible says that when we do that, when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. So, dear ones, please, please take my word for it. Don't just take my word for it. Take the word of God for it, that you can have exactly what God said you can have. Praise God. We have a better covenant than Israel had. If it was God's plan for the Israelites to live out their full length of time without sickness, who, by the way, were servants and not sons, under a covenant not as good as ours, then I just wonder what his plan is for us, the sons of God. If God didn't want his servants sick, I don't believe he wants his sons and daughters to be sick. Amen? Under the new covenant. I believe it is the plan of God. I believe the Bible bears it out, that it is the plan of God that no believer should ever be sick. And I believe every believer should live out his full length of days, his full length of time. And if Jesus holds off his second coming, then we should actually just wear out and then fall asleep in him, right? It is not, and let me say it boldly, it is not the will of God that we should suffer with cancer and other dreaded diseases which bring pain and anguish. No. It is God's will that we be healed and whole. How do I know? Because healing is provided for us under the new covenant and by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We stand upon your word right now. And if anyone out there who believes in you and who is a son and daughter of God through Jesus Christ, because Jesus is their Lord and Savior, then I pray, Father God, right now and take authority over sickness and disease in their bodies. In the name of Jesus, be healed and made whole. The word of God states strongly that Jesus himself bore your sicknesses, friend, and he carried your diseases. And by his stripes, we are healed and made whole. So by the authority of the name of Jesus, and by the power of his precious blood and God's word, be healed and made whole. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God, dear ones. Praise God. Now, live and walk in victory each and every day of your life. Pastors, I would ask you right now to please prayerfully consider inviting me to come and to speak to your congregation and in your community. I've ministered all over the United States, from Florida's Gulf Coast to Oregon and many points in between. And we've seen God move mightily in our services. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I serve. We preach the message of the cross, the message of his finished work at the cross. We preach that Jesus saves, delivers, heals. We preach that he baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I preach that Jesus is coming back soon. And we've seen people, many people, all across our nation, make decisions for Christ in our services. We've also seen others delivered from habits and bondages and addictions. We've seen many others baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Please, Pastor, go to our website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and prayerfully ask the Lord if he would have you to bring us to your community, to your church, to speak, whether for a week of revival or just a weekend. You won't regret it. Go to our website, yourplaceofgrace.com. Look at the testimonials page of other pastors who have hosted our revivals and conferences. You'll be blessed. Please do pick up a copy, or many copies, actually, of my latest book, The Forgiving Heart. Go to Amazon.com or our website, yourplaceofgrace.com. Grab copies of The Forgiving Heart by Anthony Sluzes. They're in paperback. They're also in Kindle format. Pass them out to friends and family. Hey, if there's anything we need these days, it's love, and it's a forgiving heart. So grab a copy of my new book. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may he always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may he give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory, laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, your family, your home. And may he grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.